Okay, class, sit.
Yes. Welcome back to the Give Back Jamaica Crescent Primary Program. Now, this is your trusted host, Sister Cecile, the top shelf diva. A good evening to you all and welcome to tonight's show. This is the Caribbean Radio Show, CRS Radio, the Knowledge Station. It has been a whirlwind week and we at the Give Back Jamaica Crescent are still on a roll to provide much needed assistance to the children of our past school, the Crescent All-Age School, now Crescent Primary School. Tonight's show promises to be off the chain! Ching-ching-ching-ching! Yes, so if you are listening to us or if you would like to join the show tonight, you could go ahead and dial 661-467-2407. And sure enough, if you choose to interact with us tonight, just press 1 on your keypad and you are in. You are in. Now, I have as my trusted co-host and sister, Dr. Ev, a sister who knows what it is to give back. Yes. So the first half of the show, we are going to be featuring a guest, Dr. J, and we're going to learn so many things from this this person tonight. So stay tuned because she has a lot of information that we will benefit from. Now, continuing to the Give Back Jamaica program, we will be hosting a Christmas party for 12 of our students that we've sponsored so far. Been following our Give Back Jamaica program, you would have know that we have this sponsorship program where we sponsor students of the Crescent Primary School, and so far we've sponsored about 12 students, and as a result of this we are going to honor these students by putting on a little something for them for this this Christmas season. Now, many of these children coming from poor homes, they've never been treated in such manner. And then this is why we are endeavoring to allow these children to just get a feel of something new and nice. So we're going to host these students. We're going to feed them. We're going to give them a gift, and we're going to entertain them, because this is what we do. We give back. Okay? So I think this will be happening on November 26th, and Dr. F can back me up as soon as she gets online. So we are going to be hosting also the teachers who have been with us in this Give Back Jamaica Crescent endeavor, like Sir, the principal, and, you know, these two ladies, Mrs. Lewis and Mrs. Naughty, they have been our backbone for the program in Jamaica. And we'd like to honor them. We'd like to say thank you. Thank you for accommodating us. Thank you for being our eyes and ears on the ground. Now, the second half of the program, we're just going to line. We're just going to talk about things of, you know, Christmas of yesteryear, how we used to do Christmas, what Christmas meant to us then as against now, you know, considering all encountered, I mean, the crime and violence that keep people away from certain areas and certain times of night. We are definitely going to be speaking about that tonight. So at this time, I'm going to invite my trusted co-host, Dr. Ev, to shoot on in. Dr. Ev, come on in, girl.
Yes, my sister. Thank you. Oh, thank you so much for inviting me, accommodating me every week when you do.
I'm always delighted
to chat with you, man. You know, just hearing your voice and the enthusiasm. I know that we have so much in common. It is a beauty because it kind of gives me that reminiscing. I just track through my years, younger years, just give me an opportunity to just put a little smile on myself. I'm kind of very reflective of to say, hey, boy, girl, you do well, you know, you come from far.
Yeah.
So thank you for the experience.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah, you are thank you for the experience.
So while we wait on our co-host, Dr. Ev, tell us more. I spoke about this this event that we'll be hosting for these students. Now, tell us some more on the planning and all that's going on to make this event the success it is going to be.
Well. Thanks so much for the board. I mean, well, we have some folks that when we talk about passion, the board members, and you talk so eloquently about those folks that we have down on the ground, Miss Naughty, Miss Lewis. I'm telling you, I just say, hey, Miss Lewis, Miss Naughty, check out this and check out that, and boom, 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 in no time, you know, the information is gathered together, and we can put things together and make things just really happen. In I'm saying because I'm texting somebody who's supposed to be on the show, kind of getting some direction to, about going on the show. So Okay. Anyway, we really got together. Any kind of team you have, and once the team are in sync with the mission, it is a 1, 2, 3, easy breezy kind of a stuff, you know, no problem when it comes on to that. They get together, as you saw, the celebration, and we're having Christmas in November. So we at Give Back Jamaica, we always do things a little bit different, not the conventional things, but making hay while the sun shine. And we have our team together. We have a team going down, thanks to our president. He's taking charge and getting down to Jamaica, being down on the ground at every time we have any kind of a celebration or anything that Give Back Jamaica is involved with. So he's able to there and make sure that the quality, how we plan to do things. All of that is set forth, and it is carried out out there. So we always have a team looking out and making sure that everything goes well.
Okay. I mean, as I say, we are on a roll. And who would have thought, I mean, that we would have gotten to this point based on how we started out? But, you know, as you say, once you have your team and everybody is on, you know, on the same wavelength, then it's going to be a success. And I honestly know that this is a success, because look at our shoe project. That was one of the big ones. That was one of the big ones, and it went off like so smoothly, so smoothly. And this is just like putting. Mind you, all of these students who have gotten their shoe may not be students who are going to be. All of them are not going to be in this celebration, because we have not widened it yet. But I know somewhere along the line we're going to widen this to accommodate all of these students. But just look at how this thing took off and became so successful, and it's just putting the pieces together. The puzzle is now like we're seeing the pieces. We're not seeing them as disjointed pieces now. We are seeing them being just coming together.
Absolutely, absolutely. So very well said. Because of teamwork, we're talking about. I mean, the teamwork is just so on point, because we are experiencing the mission. We don't have folks who are going to be, you know, the back and forth and the that. Hey, we have a mission set for. Hey, how do we execute it? And I'm telling you, 1, 2, 3. I mean, it's done.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Give back Jamaica. The people who you are engaged with, the people who understand what it means not to have shoes, not to have food in their belly, that's the kind of folks who have overcome those adversities and now want to give back. Those are the folks that we have within the organization.
Yes. You know, and we've been here week after week after week, you know, imploring and asking, you know, for donation. And strange enough, we have realized that the persons who we should be counting on, persons who have encountered and experienced all these hardships back home, they are not the ones who are turning their hands and returning, you know, something to the school, which made them to what, you know, who they are. Because I know a lot of persons from Crescent who are in big position. I mean, we know we say big position in Jamaica. What we mean? Big position, positions, you know, who can be of help to these students. And they are not even opening their fists
to give back.
Many, we have said many times that the most donations that we have acquired are from persons who have never been to Jamaica, never have any affiliation with Jamaica and or Crescent Primary School, but yet they're the ones who are giving. I wouldn't even say giving back. Giving to the school.
And I think sometimes, you know, and let's hope that within time, because sometimes you have people have hesitancy, because sometimes they don't just, you know, believe in an organization, so they get a little bit hesitant to give a donation. But I hope with the kind of a news blitz that we're getting, the kind of transparency that the our organization have, people will eventually come together. You know, some people, them don't jump on the train until the train not drive off.
Yeah, until it reach a couple of stations down the line.
Yeah, so they chase after it. So, you know, either way or the other, we thank the folks that believed in us, who understand our mission and who got on board right away And we're only getting stronger. I mean, just a couple of hours ago, I spoke with a friend of mine in New York, and we just kind of just say, hey, how you doing? And then it so happens that my spiel speech or elevator speech comes out because I speak and think about Give Back Jamaica. I mean, I live that. So we started talking and say, hey, get me involved. You know, I will be able to reach out to some folks.
That is good.
And see what we can do. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, hold on a minute. I see my board lighting up. And if you are interested in joining the conversation, just press 1 on your keypad or put your hand up. And I'll see you like the teacher that I am, and I'll call on you, all right? Back to you, Dr. M. Yeah, back to you.
Yes. I have no doubt we are starting to plan. Last year, with our financial year, we gave out the first of that mission, over 250 pairs of shoes, delight the children. Some of the experiences that we got from the kids, and you know, we talked about it on several shows ahead. But the thank yous and the gratitude keep coming in, and so we're hoping, and we start that campaign in already. For the shoe project, and we are looking to double that amount, because folks, we did 250 pairs of shoes, but trust me, by far that's not where the need. That's just kind of touching the tip of the iceberg. The need is just so great when it comes on to basic things like shoe, uniform, food. We have our Bellyful program that you can sponsor a child. Just $25 a month would be able to feed a child lunch for a month. Think about that. We're doing our One Child, One Desk. We have a beautiful model of a desk that our president had at the school. We were able to purchase that. So we know exactly what our desk would look like.
Okay.
It's an adjustable desk. So, you know, children at certain age, they can just go fast, quick. We can adjust that desk for their, you know, their growth spurts as well. So
hold that thought for a minute. 954-496, caller.
Hello, good night.
Good night. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Dr. J. Good night.
Oh, good night, Dr. J. Oh, so you are my guest host for tonight. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
Glad to have you. So as I said before, Dr. J, Dr. F just made mention of you. You guys were having a conversation, and you know, she is passionate about giving back. And like you, we are also passionate about giving back. Now, there are certain things I want to ask you tonight about your charity, the Jamaica Project in Action, which is a great name.
Uh-huh.
I love that name. No,
thank you.
No, Dr. J, I realize that, you know, just listening to Dr. F speak about you, you know, I realize that you have this passion, you know, about Jamaica and wanting to give back to Jamaica. So my first question is, tell us about this charity. What is this charity about, and what caused you to have, you know, to start this charity, and how is your progression?
Okay. I'm a giver, and one night I was laying in bed, and I thought about, you know, I was asking myself, what can I do to give back, and how would I start? And I think this, about 2 days later, Dr. Eve and I had a conversation, and we were planning on this. So Dr. Eve know about Jamaica Project in Action. We birthed this together, although we didn't give it a name at the time. This Jamaica Project in Action, it came into being, I think, in 2016. And we assist schools in Jamaica with, well, we started by giving back to school supplies, assist with lunches. And we've been sending stuff here and there to Ghana and Haiti.
Oh. That is really, really good. So how has it been for you now? Is the charity what's the progression? I mean, are you hitting your goals? Because we want to learn from you in regards to you know, our charity.
Right.
So hold that thought again for me. We just spoke about how we acquire donations for our charity program, Give Back Jamaica Crescent. So what would you say to encourage someone to donate to this charity, to our charity, or to charity in a whole? Because some people have never really heard of charity, you know, so to speak. So how would you encourage somebody to donate to charity?
You know, thinking about where we're coming from, knowing that now we have, some of us, we have migrated and things are much better for us. But we need to remember, you know, our less fortunate brothers and sisters back home. And I encourage each and everyone to make a donation, no matter how small it is, every cent counts. And this is going towards a worthy cause. Dr. Eve and her crew is doing a marvelous work. And that's my reason for, you know, joining, jumping to say, yes, Dr. Eve, I'm going to join you. And I'm asking the massive out there to come on board, join, help, 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 help. We need your help. Please support Dr. Eve and her program.
Well, I hear you. When I hear you talk, my sister, you know, I get the goosebumps all over in my eyeballs. I'm telling you, you are listening. Who know that we can't have tissue paper to cry, which is what really makes me. I met some years ago, and even before I start this particular charity, we spoke about starting something. I can remember the very moment that we were talking about this, and the enthusiasm that she has, the open arms or hands, not even arm, hands that she has, and she has gone to Jamaica in years and year to year as where the needs are, and her charity is doing a great help in Jamaica. And I spoke with her today, and I would like for you to really talk a little bit of what we spoke with Dr. J in partnership. And I hadn't thought about it because it just kind of blew my mind how charities would be able to get together and partner for the cause. So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so in our conversation earlier today, you know, we talk about getting the Dex. You were telling me about Dex. There is one of the children who Jamaica Project in Action is definitely sponsoring. And I told you, you know, I will jump on board and to assist in purchasing some of those Dex for Christian primary.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh my God!
I'm getting chills.
Yeah, and of course, Dr. J, her organization. This is what we're saying, folks, and for those people who have charities in Jamaica as well. This is where we can get in partner. partnership. We have a particular project at a particular school, or we want to do something together. We can come together and join forces together, getting stronger and making whatever the mission is easier to accomplish when we kind of have this partnership. And I absolutely welcome this. It was never a thought of mine, and I am really so moved by it. And now Jamaica in Action, and again, Dr. J, I have to tell you, this Jamaica Project in Action kind of really is, it kind of puts me in a something. And
yeah.
I'm joining
wow.
together with Top Shelf to say, darn, I love the name.
I love the name.
Yes.
So I'm glad to welcome Jamaica Project in Action, and a great partnership that will ensue over the years to come, and some great things that we can do together. So I really want to thank you, Dr. J. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Definitely, we're in for a ride. We're in for a nice ride. And I can look down
Absolutely.
The road and see all of the goodness and the goodies that we're going to do together. And Dr. J,
uh-huh.
We welcome you on board. I personally, you know, congratulations for coming on board with us, because we at Give Back Jamaica, trust me, we're working. And, you know, this is like another puff of wind beneath our wings.
Yes,
proper wind beneath our wings. So we know we're going to be soaring higher.
Absolutely.
And I look forward to working with you along with Dr. Ev and the team. We look forward to working
Same
with you.
Here.
Yeah.
Same here.
Well,
so,
thank you, Dr. J. Thank you a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thanks to all
of your team
to Jamaica Project in Action. We welcome the partnership, and absolutely, we're going to make things happen, change
yes.
lives, and
yes,
sense of direction and hope. Coming next year, you know, we are just going to
make it
happen.
Dr. Ev, I know you've spoken with Dr. J about the event that took place in September. The shoe and the smiles on these kids' face, and I know you must have told her all that went on, because
absolutely, I participated in that one as well.
Oh, really? Well,
yes, she did.
Oh my goodness! Oh, I am so elated. Oh, because you know that event, he just stand out in my mind as a front leg to how people should be giving back.
Yes.
Because I don't know,
yes.
I don't know if your situation back in Jamaica, but Dr. Ev and I, we often talk about how we were poor growing up. I mean, I might not have gone to school without shoe on my feet, but I know, I have seen it. We were poor.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is the heart that all of us should have as human being, one to another. You know, this is
Absolutely.
A humanity part of us to give back. Because if we had somebody giving back to us while we were in school, probably would have been further along educational-wise, you know. Because as a child, and you know, you're poor and you go to school, your uniform doesn't stay too right, your shoes doesn't stay too right, you know, you're not even have little, you know, Vaseline, we'll call it Vaseline down the yard, to put in your hair and make your hair look nice and shiny. And, you know, yes, you know, have that. You know, you just get the two crackers a morning time, you look a butter panny, and you run Ghana school, you look a bush tea. Right? And,
oh, wow.
Yes, that is my experience. And I know that's Dr. Ev's experience. So when we get to this point where we can give back, come on, man, let's give back. And that's
let's
the whole,
give back, absolutely.
Yeah, let's
absolutely.
Give back. Let's give back. I mean, it may not be much, but every nickel, Dr. M,
makes a
muscle. Yes.
Make a muscle.
Yes. So, Dr. J, I thank you so much for coming on our show. And is there anything else you want to say to us before you leave?
I just want to say, together we will be changing lives one family wow. at a time.
Wow. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Wow.
That
is your aim. Thank you so much for sharing in our program tonight. You have a great night and the rest of the week. Have a...
Thanks, same to you.
All right. Oh, my goodness. I love that. I love
yes,
that.
I mean, I am feeling good. I am feeling so good based on where we are in our give back, giving back to Jamaica.
Yes, yes, yes. This is what motivates us. And it's not the amount what people have, but it's just the idea of coming together and share what you have. Because you can only give what you have, you know, you can't give what you don't have. Yeah. And I am just kind of blown out of the waters. I'm just taken aback every time that we link up, and I know these folks are going to be coming forth. I'm so happy for CRS Radio Caribbean Radio Show, because that is our megaphone to get out, get the message out there. We're listening to, there are people across the world. We have had people from Sweden. We have had people from all across nations who have listened to our podcast and have contacted us. And we will continue to grow. And I'm just so happy that we have a program such as this that we can extend our voices out there. I mean, that's marvelous. And thank you for putting the show together. I mean, every Sunday, I get the opportunity to come and chat with you.
I love talking with you. I love it. I love it. Because as I say all the time, it's like you just open up my business. You just know my business. So because my business is your business. Because everything you say, I have lived. And you know,
wow.
this just take us right into the second segment of the show, where we are going to be talking about life in Jamaica during the Christmas time, as we're coming up on the Christmas season. You know, how we lived then, what we ate, how we operated, how we treat our neighbors. And there's a song, let's say, Carolyn in the night. And Carolyn in the night, through the night, and this Christmas will
mm-hmm.
be. Yeah. So we used to go caroling and singing, and it was so sweet. When you
Lord
meet upon when you meet upon other groups coming up to you and you meet up, like we lived on Brunswick Avenue, so we're in between Job's Lane and the roundabout. So people would meet up right at Job's Lane, the little groups, and we'd be caroling all through the night. Because all this time, by that time back home, you know, the house clean already, you know, the house clean already. And you can smell the
cardinal floor polish.
Yes, man, we are toxic, man. We are toxic. The smell of polish is just riveting. You know, clean and the crack of them wash up already and everything shine up in lampshade, them new brand.
Lord have mercy.
Caroling, right?
Oh,
and by
gosh.
By time 6 o'clock, you reach back in and the breakfast gone from the place and there's a chocolate tea. Yes, man.
Lord of mercy. So now, if you are one of them family who have goats, you know, so one goat has to kill.
And the breakfast has some green banana.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the pig too. We never know about the pig. But we know about the goat. One ram goat has to kill.
Mm-hmm.
We never have the hog or the pig there. So we don't know about that. So the goat kill now, and then in the morning now,
liver,
breakfast, you know, deliver us.
Yes!
Yes, banana.
Yes, the ram goat liver. The ram goat liver. Yes, that's the evidence. But they used to kill ox too. They used to kill the ox too because before my parents became Sabbath keepers, Seventh-day Adventists and Church of God Seventh Day, we used to have ox and daddy used to kill an ox every Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to clean the ox belly, and the ox belly are the stinkiest thing ever.
Uh-oh, my God.
You know, when you use the piece of stick and run through the tripe.
And roll it out. Yes, yes,
and
yes.
The tripe through. Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. Lord have mercy. Well, you see, I've never done the pig, but I've done the goat. Because, as I said, we can't even have the little pig on the pig. Shunt the pig meat. Well, so we never have the pig, we have the goat, because we raise the goat. And you have to wash the tribe, I mean, you have to clean the tribe and clean the goat head and make the manish water from the goat head. And you see, you have all the goat head where you have the marrow, and the pig get the marrow, and you roast that. Oh, my God.
Yes, man.
But let me tell you something. Just thinking about that, though, you know, of course, you know, have the car, you know, have the TV, you know, have the things, them living in this world. But the quality of life that you had, the camaraderie in the community, I can remember my mom usually carry, you know, once she cooked that meal, she would say, go give Miss Ida this, or get a plate and run cool bush and go give Miss Ida the plate, or go give this, I'm going to give Granny something. I don't know if we're Granny, you know, but everybody just called her
Granny
in the community. And everybody would get something at Christmas time to make the occasion so much better. You know, it is a beautiful thing. But the thing that I loved about Christmas is when I see them chop off, you know, we call it bala walk. I don't know if you remember that word.
Yes, man.
And yeah, and everybody in the village, you know, the politician would give out these work. And the sidewalk, everybody would have, the man would have go with their machete gun, chop down the sidewalk, and you would see, it looks so beautiful. Then at home, my mother always had a garden, a flower garden, and she put the stone around it, and she buy the whitewash, and we make one makeshift paintbrush, and banana thing, you know? I was
seeing
those stones.
All...
Oh my gosh!
Especially if you have like a walk up to your yard and you paint all the stones alongside going up to it. Beautiful, beautiful.
You go out and you know life is really strange because we usually make the best broom. And do you know what we usually make room with? Rosemary. One something
yes.
I mean, can't even buy in a foreign here.
Yes,
that I
rosemary.
Well,
and it sweep the yard. We used to use room.
But can you imagine one little piece of rosemary I buy in a day? Little something is $2 something. One little star.
Mm-hmm.
And did they use this something which ours is much better because
and
ours is totally organic.
It smells so good. Because these grew wild. We never had to fertilize them or anything.
Oh,
they
gosh.
Grew wild. But I never had rosemary in my area. We had broomweed. And
yeah, we had broomweed too, and we had rosemary. Rosemary would get it more often when you got a bush. You're going to the bush, trying to get a nice rosemary
far
bush.
Far
bush.
In a bush. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the broom weed will grow, just grow anywhere. And
yeah,
what
the
broom
weed will grow anywhere.
What makes the broom weed so,
then,
so go ahead.
And then we you know, if you're going to get sophisticated now, you use the carato to make the other broom, the real broom where you
what
put
is,
on the stick.
What is that? What is what is
carato? We call it carato.
That is
the palm thing. Yes, you use that part too for making the coarse broom, and for fine it out, you use the ice pick, and you pull it up, pull it so you get fine broom. Yeah, fine broom.
Okay.
Yeah, coarse broom.
So how we used to do that now? When we buy a broom, my mama buy a broom at market. We come home, and you're right, we use the ice pick and go through them and, like, split the arm, split the blade.
Split it,
them,
yes.
Right, so we get a fine, so we can use that and sweep the house, whereas the big broom, we never have to buy a broom for outer door. Trust me, because we had broom weed, and as you said, the rosemary, so we never cater for outer door, so to speak. It was, like, inside. So when you thin out that broom, goodness gracious, man. Ugh. I love that time of the year. There's something specific about that time of the year. It gets cooler.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
People
yes.
start treating, people treat people better, in my
yes.
estimation, around that
yes.
time of the year. And as you rightly
uh-huh.
say, you know, your parents, when they kill the hog and kill the goat and so on, they will send piece of meat, go, yes, a piece of meat, go, yes. And when we cooked on Christmas Day, dinner gone
mm-hmm.
all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely.
All over the place. So we were much
mm-hmm.
kinder then. We were much kinder then because everybody knew everybody in the community. Everybody knew
True.
Who rich, who had little money more than the other person. Everybody who know who fast not people business. Everybody knew
mm-hmm.
who sophisticated. Everybody knew who had teeth. Everybody knew who had you knew your community because who you were, your community. You know everybody in there. You know when you see this person you come, you have to take bushka and hide, right? But it was who we were, you know. And at Christmas time, it was so different. That time you're getting like a new clothes.
Mm-hmm.
My mother used to sew, and she would make us maxi dresses.
Mm.
And you know, she have to make 8 maxi dresses now because of 8 girl picking she have. So
wow.
she make 8 maxi dresses. Let's say me and my sister, the two youngest one will get like she paired the dresses. Like the two oldest ones get the same color maxi dress, then the next two get a different color and she come right down the line until it gets to me and my sister. And I remember the last maxi dresses we got were orange dresses and then them have flowns. Three rows of flounce, right?
Oh.
And, we dress up Christmas Day. First of all, after the caroling, I will come back and we get breakfast. We go to Christmas market down at Spanish Town, Prison Oval.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where when you all through the year you've been saving in your panel bed. I don't know if my listeners, whether they are listening now or they've been listening on the archive, you know, panel bed, the head part of two little storage pieces and the bottom, the foot part of two. So 4 persons could save in that. And you save and save and save all year round. And then the night before Christmas Day or a week before Christmas, if you want to buy something, a present or a gift for somebody, then they would empty out, Mama would take off the bed head and she turn it over and your money.
Wow.
And you know, set. You're going to buy a gift or you're going to buy your dolly or you're going to buy this or you're going to buy that. And then Christmas,
wow.
You know, when you go to Christmas market, you can buy a little chart, you can buy a little dolly. I miss the love smell, the dolly, the new dolly, the ear smell good. All through the year, we use grass. You know, the clump. They use the clump of grass, and then you use
mm-hmm.
that, and you the root of it. You wash it out and comb it out, and that is a dolly ear.
Wow!
Right? and then you tie the middle, and then you put two pieces of stick through it to make the arms. And then for the foot, you put your two pieces of stick. And that we had all through the year. So when it comes to Christmas and you get that new smelling dolly, that brown, that white dolly, and the ear smells so good. And, you know, I don't know, Dr. if you know of this dolly, the head was like, it was like crockery. And any of that drop, your dolly done.
Well, you see, the thing about me, and I guess you're talking about it, what we call grand market. That was the, you call it Christmas, but what we know it as grand market.
No. Grand market used to be the day before Christmas, take you into the morning, all night, and then you have Christmas, Christmas market I think it over like about 11 o'clock, like done 11 o'clock in the morning. So after you eat, you drink your little tea, your chocolate, and your fried dumpling and whatever, then you have to eat, you're gone at Christmas market. And then you have the jankuna them did. I remember the Spanish Town Prison Oval, there is a place, I don't know if they said that's when they hang people, that's the gallows, the people falling at the older or whatever. I mean, I know the war up there. And the jankuno, you know, I was so terrified of jankuno. I ran up there, and oh my goodness, because I was terrified of jankuno. So jankuno would have come, and you know, so all through the day, you have parading and so on, and floats and so on, passing on the road. And jankuno was the order of the day. Them come from something, and then you have the, especially the, like the arse head and the belly woman. The arse head used to chase people with the horn, shaking the horn at you, and then the belly woman, she would just wind up her belly. But they were terrifying because of their faces.
Oh.
The demonic faces they have. So they wore masks as you know, masquerades. I don't know if you encountered them, but we live closer to Spanish Town, down into the town, because we live at Brunswick Avenue then. And, you know, we get to see them, then come from St. John's Road, then come from Spanish Town, and there was them just link up and them play them sweet music and the fife and, you know, the music and them dance and your dance. People are not afraid of them dance, but all who are afraid of them get up gone.
Well, because me up in other further part in other country, I never really had much of that experience. The most we would have is the Christmas market. Now, I have never gotten a dolly, no white dolly, no black dolly, no nothing.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, I've never played with anything called dolly. What I played with, well, strange enough, I usually teach trees and beat up the trees them to when they're not learned. And I usually conduct music with the tree. I was a conductor too. You know, you could conduct music.
Oh.
We would have to, the only toy that I've gotten at Christmas was one Fifi. We call it Fifi.
Fifi, yes.
We have the hat. We get Christmas hats sometimes. We get a Christmas hat very few times. But we get the Fifi when you blow it.
Yes, it rolls,
Exactly.
It rolls out. Yes.
Or the big Fifi that we have a little something in it, and you're poof. And, you know, you have a little, it's round. But what I remember also, and this is why I have what we call motorgon, which is the harmonica. We always get one like a motorgon. And that is, that's why I love country music a lot, because they play a lot, use that instrument in there. And I love it, love it, love it. My mom plays it very well. She plays it very well. So, I mean, that's the only thing we got. Other than that, you would get underwear. You get new underwear for putting the grip if you have a hospital or the church underwear. But I've never gotten
make any toy like that. Our toys is what we made. We could make a truck. I we use the breadfruit and make grease for the truck wheel, and I could make a truck myself. We will use the polish pan cover and the two wheels for make the one where you push in front and, you
and
know.
The, and use the string. And to, string. The string.
Exactly. We will make we will also make a guitar, and you use that with the bamboo. And when you get a little bit of fish line, you use the fish line with a piece of board. And
yes,
a milk can to capture the acoustic sound.
We use sardine tins. We use the sardine tin.
Yes, we use the sardine tin too, very much. And we will use the orange juice box and we use pear seed to make the wheels. In order to make the wheels for the orange juice box for truck. So we had to make whatever toys we had. I never got a dolly yet. I don't know what that is. So some kids were a little bit, you know, more fortunate, and of course. You have to save the buckle them because that's the only time of the year you maybe get a little half a buckle of soda. If you were really, 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 I don't know, things were so good that you'd get one buckle of soda. But other than that, a half a buckle of soda, yeah, I guess.
You know, talking about the soda, Dr. Eve, we used to walk and looking at the sidewalk and the drainage and the, you know, the culverts and so on and find bottles and wash them out and save them for when the truck comes around. You exchange your bottles for a crate of drink.
Then
those will be stored. And I tell you this. I oftentimes, and you know, I never knew that I was the only person who did that because I was talking one day, my sister said, you used to do that too? I said, yeah. Me used to go underneath the bed and, you know, them cool and nice and take them out and put them from the face and, oh God, just put all them up in your mouth like you drink them, you know, because you know during the year, you'll never get a bottle of soda yourself. And I'd love cream soda because me love the white one. Them say dopey soda, dopey drink. Yes. I love the white one. So I used to go under there and mess with the drinks. But, you know, it was always in the back of my mind. I said, Lord, what if one of them drop and broke for you? You know, and that would get me out from underneath the bed to stop bothering soda. But Sunday, come Christmas morning, when Mama draw the crate of drinks and the crate of beer, and, you know, we used to have family coming from Simon District. You know, my uncles and my cousins, they would come over. And, you know, we'd have a big thing for the day because I got cooking, I got cook, and my mother could have cooking, you know, because when she cook all that the pork there, and we eat dinner, you know, all kind, we get chicken, because we are raised chicken for the entire day. We get chicken, you know, and with the pork, and we have fish, fried fish, because she got everything from the market, and we have a rice and peas, and those times I never ate rice and peas, so I would have my dumplings. And it was just white flour dumpling because me never like cornmeal dumpling otherwise. Me never like, it's just a white flour dumpling. So my thing did already set. So, and I look apart, just a little run to me, and, you know, they have a couple of dumplings and so on. But Christmas time, Dr. Eva, honestly, we share that. I mean, we have that in common. It was one of the best times of the year. Actually, the best time people respected people. I don't know what was in the air, but people respected people, you know. People looked out for people. If nobody ever gave you a plate of food, during the year, at Christmas time, you can count your blessings. You're going to get a plate of food. So, Dr. Ev, we on the topic of what were some of the foods we had during Christmas time. Tell me some of the food you used to eat, no?
Well,
Well, as I say, first of all, breakfast was green banana, some soft green banana.
Oh.
And the goat liver. So that was breakfast. Lord have mercy. Then it has some nice pepper. I can taste the pepper. When you have the chocolate tea, we have the hail on the top. They have good chocolate, you know.
Yes,
when you're boiling,
the
hail on the top of it.
And you don't know if it's hot or cool. You don't know. Because
Lord have mercy. No, don't make it too hot now, you know, sister. Because that burn up your tongue, you know.
Mm.
Your days would be unhappy for a long time. And then, during the day now, when pata boil up, a gallop, them call it. They pata gallop.
A gallop.
You have the people them come. If you are, your yard is the one where the people them come and think. You have, my mother usually buy, they have the port wine. You have to carry your bottle. And we have the big old bottle, them like syrup bottle, them big.
Uh-huh.
And they have a little handle up on the head part.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you buy your port wine.
Uh-huh.
And you'd have your sorrel and the mother, you get your port, then put the port wine in at the sorrel. Say, you know, nice it up, man. And the sorrel make from wild, you know. And them don't know, make them sorrel, them use the pimento and put in there. And
uh-huh.
It has a nice blend. And so you'd have everybody, and you, because we don't have no fridge nor nothing. So you'd have buy 50 ice. They call it 50 ice or 25 ice or 54. And you use the ice pick and you chip that, girlfriend. And you put it in a glass or a mug. Oh, we got another glass. You have the mug. A visitor will get glass if you have glass, for drink, if they're a visitor. Good visitor. As my mother would have said, nobody take out the nice cracker, them. And they always take shame out of my eye.
No, so, hold on, Dr. Ed. So, you store the ice because, I know that when we buy the ice from the ice truck and the man come down with in little tongue, hook the ice and when they tap the ice, you want 50 ice, you want 25, and they just use the ice pick and crack, and they just break apart evenly. So what we used to do, daddy dig a hole on the ground, and then he used sawdust.
Yes. Yes.
And put it in there. And days after that, we still go get ice out of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so they usually put salt around it too. And yeah. But the sawdust, you dig the ground and you put the sawdust in there.
Uh-huh.
And that keep the ice. And sometimes you have to wash off the
sawdust.
The ice. But that's how we kept the ice. Now, if you are a little bit more advanced, you'd have one of the igloo them, but not like the igloo, the one you can't pick off. You know, the white one, them you pick the side of them. If you ever punch them, them gone.
Okay, me don't know the one then.
Yeah, man, it's like a styrofoam, like, and if you pick, you can literally pick it off.
Okay,
yes.
The styrofoam, something like where, you know, where you use a packaging.
Yeah, what it may call, yes, I know
what you're talking now. I know what you're talking.
Yes,
I know what you're talking.
I mean, we have those, so you can put it in, you know, and that is really good because y'all get the ice water, so you it now feel really melt out that fast, and you can put the thing inside of it and so on. So it's really good. But I mean, it's just, you know, you speak, you use that ice pick, and you literally mark out the spot where you want, and it's easy for you to just cut that little area, and you just juk, throw them into the cup, and you pour your sorrel on it, because that was the main drink, your sorrel. No matter what, your sorrel and your port wine. your port wine, mm-hmm. and you will get Wincarnace wine, but that's a big top-notch mm-hmm. drink. Yeah. So by time now, you will have curry goat. You have a curry goat, and normally a curry goat, and manish water. So you then we use the goat head and make the soup, and you have curry goat. And then you usually have more green banana too. Then we have green banana and some rice. Usually use curry goat. Nowadays, them use curry goat and rice and peas, but we never use curry goat and rice and peas.
White
when we
rice.
Grow up on white rice. Strictly mm-hmm. white rice with curry goat. That's how curry goat make. And girl, when you smell that the curry goat, they know. Jeez, you got some mercy. Me say that there's something there. You steer up a top road and you smell that flavor with the scotch bonnet pepper and the St. Andrew's cayenne and thyme. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm in a North life could have been sweet, so.
Oh, wow.
And everybody is so festive, and you have the radio playing. Now, if you are a little bit more advanced, you'd have one record player, a play little record. Or the what you call it, the gramophone, like the stereo thing, you know, the part where you play inside at the thing, and you can cover it over like a little piece of furniture. So we had one of that. And, oh, my gosh, when you put on the music, then the 45, and we usually have some 74. Maybe you don't know 74 record. They're not as big as the bigger record. 74 is like a 3/4, and they're thick. Most of those usually come from England. When we had those, yeah, man. And then, look, we sing and laugh and talk.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
We enjoyed the singing. Because we still have like mini concerts and so on. So we used to sing and it's just to call upon this person to sing. And one of my favorite ones, Christmas carol then was the chestnuts roasting on an open fire. And everybody would want to hear me sing it, you know. It was always fascinating to me. Chestnuts, I've never seen chestnuts, you know, we've never seen chestnuts. And you just envisioned chestnuts and everybody would call me to sing. Come sing now. And, you know, I would go up boastfully and chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost sniffing at your nose. Yuletide carols that are sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows. You know, Daddy used to love when I sing it.
Wow. And do you know I've never sung that song nor heard that song when I was in Jamaica? Our song was Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. Round and fortune over and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleeping up and sleeping heavenly peace.
That was awesome. Girl, you can sing. She can sing. I swore I was listening to the radio. I swore I was listening to the radio.
You know what? I always listen to you when you sing, and I'm just, oh my God.
Well, oh, my
God.
But roasting on an open fire. That was, I mean, even today, I love the song because really, I really don't celebrate Christmas now, so to speak, because, you know, what I learned about Christmas now is far different from what we learned back then. But
yes,
I still have
yes,
some respect
yes.
for the time of the year because there's yes. some solemnity to the time, the season, that particular season. It brings on some excitement, even though you might not celebrate
yes.
it, but it brings on
yes.
some excitement. Something is happening
yes.
right now, you know?
Yes.
And coming up,
yes.
you start feeling the excitement when you pass the shop windows.
Yes.
You see
yes.
the smell when you walk into these
yes.
stores, the decor, the smell of
mm-hmm.
cinnamon, and it's just fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about this time of the year, you know?
Yes,
but,
yes.
But
no, if your mother wants a baker and she start to put all of those fruits to make some black cake, girl.
Mama never used to bake a black cake. But Jano, Mama and Daddy
pudding,
then turn up.
Jesus, gosh, have mercy.
Up because when we used to see if all the pudding at night time, and we take off one little slice, one little thin slice. By the time your teeth that I'm and I walk that back.
It done.
By the time it done, you walk back again. And plenty times, and so we get catched. So we get catch plenty times. Yeah, man. Them people that them couldn't turn up with all of that. They go gooey, gooey. I don't know how they do it.
Lord,
gooey, stuff on its top.
Lord, me don't know why you have at the top. Oh, don't forget my pressure up here. Girl. When you make all one potato pudding and one caramel power pudding and that the pan the top. So how we make to a pudding, of course, we have stove and all of that. A wood fire we have enough.
Yes,
and Mama puts one tin in. A
yes.
thing on the top. And you get some coconut husks. And you put it on the top. Lord, have mercy.
No. You make it out in a coal. When you get out in a coal, then you take up a coal them and put them on top. The live embers, you put them on top. Right? And the
yeah, well,
that's
for you, man. That's for you. We usually have the coconut husks because coal expensive, you know. So if you don't know where you're going to get coal.
What we use, we used to use coal, but what we use is like when Mama make up the fire and the thing burn
it
up now and
burn.
It's the coal,
yeah.
right? She take up some of them down, put on the top, and then she clear out what is underneath the bottom. Like,
yes.
you know, what you burn
that's
up,
when
clear out.
That's when you making something draw, then you draw the fire, them call it, them say, me go draw the fire for the food, you know.
Oh.
So you take out under the fire underneath the bottom,
mm-hmm.
and you spread out the coal, the heat,
mm-hmm.
pan the top, pan the window, you draw the fire. So at that time, you know, say, put me always a cook. But you know what? One most amazing thing, though, I come into this country and I see when people cooking and thing, they have to use measuring spoon, they have to use this and this measure and measuring cup. I have never seen that in Jamaica. These people are perfect in everything where they measure. How is that? How is that?
But you know what? You know what? I used to couldn't make flour, make dumplings because every time
mm-hmm.
it's spoiling.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama, it come out so mildly and nice. How Mama
mm-hmm.
would not spoil? But she knew the amount of water to put on it.
Yeah.
And over
you just
time,
know.
Over time, you just get into that. You just know how much salt to put in there. You know, so much things,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you
know
how to measure anything. You don't measure anything. You're just chewing stuff, and you're ready to go. Things nice,
yes,
and when it,
my mother, my father was the cook, and my father, this is why a lot of time it's hard for me to really heat from people who is not happy, because my father, he usually sit at the fire, at the fireside, because we fireside, we call it fireside, you know, the wood fire, auntie. And he would sing to the food.
Yes.
Him cross him 10 and him have a, he loves Indian music. We usually have to listen to Indian talent on parade at 3:30 every Sunday. So it was like, three, I can never forget. And my father, he loves Indian music. So he would sing Indian music to the pot. Or whatever music is, he might want a song where he sing Kau Lao, So Mo, Kau, So, whatever, whatever. I don't know what that is. And he would never, ever leave the pot until the pot is cooked. You know, like we are here, we are watch, we are wash, and we are cook, and we are do something. No. Him sit down, cross him foot, until the pot is finished, him never leave.
Wow.
So
definitely,
you're
right. Mm-hmm. You're right. Some people cook with love.
Yes. Yes.
Some people cook with love.
Yes.
So you're right. Eating from some people sometimes, they don't cook with love.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think this is why we're so overweight, because we're getting in vibration from people who don't care about us. You have to care about the person who you're feeding. And the reason why, if you don't care about me and you get that chicken, something on the floor, you're going to take it up and sling it in the pot because you have a chunk. I don't care about her. I don't care. Business. I know that. You know what I'm saying? But if you care and you're doing stuff with love, everything you do, you would wash it. You would make sure it's clean and all of that stuff. And you are putting that vibration in the food. This is why I don't think nobody should eat from fast food place and all of those things. Or eat from people who you don't know. That is the truth. And eat from people who you don't know. You cannot, because this is the essence of life, that vibration that you are feeding this person. And there's a thing about digestion too. I'm not sure this is experimentally done. But when we are at home and you smell that food, digestion start to take place from the smell, because your mouth, the saliva in your mouth, your taste, your olfactory nerve, everything starts to get engaged.
Yes,
exactly. And you know, digestion in truth and in fact starts in the mouth, it's not in the stomach. So by the time you would have put in that food in your mouth, you have enough juices.
And that's why. That is why you're supposed to chew your food. You chew your food as long as possible.
Not only that, but if you don't have nothing in your mouth to chew your food, I make it masticate with. Well, yeah, because the food not stimulate. You know, sit down and wish. It's like when Mama cooked the food or Papa cooked the food, you smell it and you pink about it. And your mouth, when we say we're mouth full of water. For the food, that's what how the digestion process. So when the food really gets in your mouth, you have enough moisture. The breakdown, the food start to break down before you reach your stomach. And that's all a part about love, because now not only the food delicious. That, of course, you know, when you eat your food, you have to lick your finger. Y'all have to lick out the plate.
What?
No plate. No, that's two things. The food sweet and the lick of it. The thing about it, what that helps you, and here it does help you too. You don't sit down and glut yourself, because of course we never have enough to glutton ourselves over. And you always sit down and you eat that much that you want, little bit more. But that little bit more have to come tomorrow dinner. My God, there is not more for you forget.
Yes. But you know, Dr. Ev, when you find that happen, normally what my mother used to do when she cook, and that hot water, especially when she boiled food,
the
like the sachin and the yam and the banana. Should have given everybody a cup. And you drink that.
And put one pepper in it. And put one pepper in there. Lord of mercy, God.
So when you get your food, you know, you would have already gotten something in your stomach.
Something
so,
in your
so that's
stomach.
A makeup. That's a makeup. And I think I've shared this with you before, where my mother is concerned. Whenever she, my mom used to treat each and every one of us as if we were an only child. And that's the best way I can put it. So she would come around to you and she would say, Mom, eat up here. This is all I have for you. If your belly not full, go drink some water. You know? And it made you feel, you know, comforted in the thought that, yes, it might not be a lot of food, but this is all she has to give. And she's not telling you that if your belly not full, not look to your neighbor, because then we never have no neighbor, so to speak, we go run, go beg nothing. We had Lindo sugar, we have bush of sugar cane,
sugar cane.
Lindo cane piece, to go, you know, to go eat one cane afterwards, you know. But it made you feel comforted in the thought that she cared, you know, she cared, you know, to come to each one of you and you know, and when you eat, it's as if, as you rightly said, the food was cooked with such love that when it got on your belly, you feel, you're filled up.
Yeah, man, that is true. But my father, you know, and my mother, I this is a phenomenon for me. When my father eat, my father never clean him plate. Him always left, especially from my brother, my little brother. My little brother, and him always said, come here, boy, come eat if it's a dumpling, yeah. And Lord have mercy, for my father, piece of dumpling well left. For me dumpling, where we just eat out of the same pot. Me always wonder how feed dumpling tastes so much 1,000,000 times better than my dumpling.
So it looks as though the fathers in those days, fathers who actually stay home with their kids, stay with them wife or them common law wife with the kids, acted differently from fathers who we see nowadays, where the father gets first and him niam off him food and the kids, him no business if them want to eat, him get
true.
And there's some women who encourage that. No, my father, like your father, he never ate all his food off. Let's say, for instance, a chicken or some chicken back, and he will leave with some meat on the bone, and tonight I see your own, and tomorrow night I see somebody else's own. And he will leave one little tuck of rice over here, so I want, you know, one half a dumpling. But he never ate all his food. He one of the children and give. I mean, Dr. Ev, me tell us, you know, you just love part my business. That was daddy all over. Daddy never ate. And another thing with my dad, people ask me all the time, it looks like you prefer your daddy over your mother. And I said, no, I don't. But I have my unique things about them that draws me to them.
For certain things
daddy
in particular.
Daddy was very mild. He was a docile person. And we used to always laugh and say, watch him now. Him talk about manners scared to do. Because daddy would... Would say good morning to all, sound like a picnic on roadside. To the point when my daddy died, you would believe that this guy asked me, I wish so on a player, because the lane was ram, out of Clive White Club, ram, everywhere ram. But daddy was a docile man. He lived peaceably with everybody in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And So it's that uniqueness about him, you know. He wouldn't even beat us. He never beat us.
Mm-hmm.
Mama did all the beating. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about, when growing up, when you think about mama would beat you as against daddy, not, we won't beat you, you get drawn on daddy's side more than mama's side. While
mama,
going to make sure, say, you know, so you have your clothes to wear, go, you're so on, suppose you're going outing and so on. She makes sure your uniform ready. She makes sure the money paid for the outing and all of that. While daddy never business with that, really. He left that to her. But they were just unique in their own ways. just
and how you talk about that, you just realize how in certain family, how powerful some women get to be in family. And how docile you say the men are. Them, you hear the man come in, somebody come next door and say, "Hi, Mr. John, do you have so-and-so? Go talk to the missus. She know where everything is. You know, she has the power to make decisions." Well, the missus, how she deal with that, you know? I don't know what, you know what I mean? You have to go to she. And it is so beautiful. And as you say, those men who had, and you know, for those of us that had the opportunity to have a male figure around, especially you, there were 8 girls like yourself, it is an awesome feeling when you can talk about your dad and you get the experience of what a male person would like, because not many of us girls get the opportunity to grow up with a male figure in our home. It's just like our mom, our granny, and our auntie. And those people are usually the single person, or you go stay with your granny because mama had 7 of you and she couldn't manage the all 7 of you. So one go stay with auntie, 2 go stay with granny, 3 go stay with that. So oftentimes, some of the time, the family of children gets split up, like my family of children. There's some time we were together, all of us. I don't think all of us were ever together. We would come and go out of each other's life because the poverty, you would send, send me go stay with this one in auntie in a town, this one go stay with the other family member. So that's how we used to survive. It's not a formal adoption because, your granny grow your butter, your granny.
Or your godmother.
Exactly. And it's not, say, somebody giving you away, but that's the best opportunity for you to survive. And a lot of that goes on in Jamaica. When you reach a certain age, you go stay with so-and-so because it's it is easy. So for those of us who are able to have both parents in a home, although you don't have a lot of the amenities, the fact that you have each other, you have that memory with each other, you're able to grow up as a team as much as possible. Because sometimes you have, with this much children, you have the rivalry and all of that. But there was a joy, especially at Christmas time, especially at those time of the year. In Jamaica, we have Easter time. We just have Easter and Christmas. The Christmas is the jolly time. The Easter is the kind of solemn time, not so happy because of Jesus' death, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the time you do it, and you use your egg and try and set an egg and see if you want to be the following month.
Because it can see your future.
You know, Dr. Ev, you said something a while ago, and it took me very, very far, where we spoke about, our dad leaving the day-to-day running of the family's business, the home or the house, to the mothers. And if you notice, girls who come from those homes are always the ones who come out as being strong-willed women, independent women. That is something I noticed because I listen to you I say, she's an independent woman, a strong woman, a woman who knows what she wants and what she wants, because she saw this this strength of both character, persona, personality, being a finance manager, being everything, being the we may have to buy a market now with this $10, or we cut on car according to mama. So we come up with that, embedded in us. So we become very good women and are able to appreciate life, appreciate who we are, you know, as old people would say, you know, Alfie, take your hand and turn fashion. You know, turn your hand and turn fashion. That is who we have become because of the strong home that we come from. And, you know, even sometimes, like you say your parents, you know, this minute, this first, you're here and you'll be gone to this. We were never separated. We were never separated. Mm-hmm. We were all there together. We fight, we cut. We wear one another clothes, we mash up one another sitting, and we tear up one another book page, and with this and with that and with that and with that. But then we learned from each other, because I, being the youngest child, the youngest daughter, I saw all seven sisters and what the mistakes they made. I never made those mistakes because I've seen and experienced what they went through because of the mistake that they made. Mm-hmm. So I became a different breed of fish, a kekla fish, from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, them experienced teenage pregnancy, I never. Them all of the things they experienced, and it's like I used them as my springboard or my billboard. I saw what happened to them. I said, no, this ain't gonna happen to me, and you know. So I went to school and everything and, you know, take everything as I should, as I was supposed to, as they were supposed to show me. But they didn't show me that. I showed them that.
I think it is marvelous when, especially in Jamaica and developing countries, we develop our own moral codes and so on. And a lot of that with the older folks, if you have older folks, I mean, all of that, you know, you talk about some of what your dad say or what your mom say, the old proverbs, and we live by those, literally. Every mickle make a muttle, you understand what that means. You have to turn your hand and make fashion. You have to satisfy, no licky-licky, and all of those things in order to survive. And those, we lived by words. We did not understand. You have to study your book and do better. You have to come out to something. Okay. They weren't the philosophy, but you understood what they meant and the power of what they're saying, because those were riveting you every day. They would say, you have to find somewhere to put your head before you put your... Like with a family or with men, put them wherever. So these things, you know, no matter where you have to have a little shelter over your head. Those are the things we grow up with. And as you rightly say, when I look at a hero, period, I look as a young mom with five children who did not look at my, we didn't grow up with our stepfather, and that's a whole different, we didn't grow up with our dad, and that's a different story for a different reason. But we grew up with a stepdad who people did not know that was not our real dad, because we call him Papa. He never say, you know, to people.
Yes,
exactly.
Took care of you guys.
There is stuff that, you know, you're not sophisticated and educated, but there is a moral compass somewhere. I look at my mom, although my father was there and my stepfather, my father would say, you had a father too, because he respected that. Because of ill health, why my father wasn't there as how he should be. But that's a whole different story. I would get into that another time. But my mother, she took the responsibility of her children. Hey, these are my children. I have to take care of her. You may not have her coming home like a mom and hug you up and kiss you. Never got that. But she's the one who is going to make sure she have money for the school fees. She have money for the doctor bill. She have money. She have a couple of pantries put down just in case you have a doctor. She out there a hustler. She's the entrepreneur. She's the independent woman. And that's the only thing I know. I grew up knowing that I am responsible for myself, and I would never, first of all, I never thought about, say, getting married in order for me to support myself or for me to live the life that I want, because I seen my mom did it, and took care of 5 children, I mean, awesomely. So I had no other choice. Period. So I think what you're saying and what I'm hearing you saying, hey, if we kind of show a good example, just like you learned in a quick way, say, oh, let me put one and one together. This happened here, that happened there. I don't want to happen here. So I'm not going to do what would get me into this kind of a circumstances. We have strong women in home, loving dad. I think for us as women, as for women, woman, period, it does give you a level of power. And I'm not talking about a masculine power where you want to dominate. It gives you power, take care of yourself, able to rely on yourself, not be put in a situation because of your reliance on a male person, you're taking an advantage or disadvantage, whichever way you want to use it. You're not going to sit around and wait for somebody to hand you something, but you're going to plow your way through it. If somebody comes along who is a partner in this, you'll know. And you'll probably get along with it. If that partnership is not working out, you know, and you jump off of the board quick.
Definitely.
Because you can take care of yourself.
And that is why, Dr. Ev, we get in trouble so many times. People would say that. But when a relationship is not going the way that you know it's supposed to be going, you're not going to sit back and take any foolishness.
Absolutely.
You are going to step aside, put that aside and say, no, look, you got to go because this is not what I am bargaining for. And, you know, people would say, people like you, you don't have any love. But no, that is not so. If the situation is one that is toxic, you're not used to that. That's not how you saw your parents. And as women, we want the relationship that our mothers have. And our mothers definitely had a good relationship with your father. And when you see your relationship now, you're going to jump off of that board. You're going to jump off of that board. You're not going to stay on it. And people say, oh, money, let's go from man to man. No. And, you know, there was a girl who lived beside us, and she had 5 kids, and they were for 5 different men. And people would, you know, cuss her, back in a Jamaican vernacular, cuss her, say, she money, or whatever. And, you know, one day somebody said that to me, and I said, no, I wouldn't castigate her as being money. I would castigate her as being a strong woman, because if she end up with these men, right, and she's trying to make a life with them and it doesn't work out, mind you, granted, she should have taken precautions, you know, so as not to get another child, you know, and keep getting kids down the line. But who knows? It happened already. But because she knows the relationship going her way, she kicked him aside because she never stands for no foolishness. So the person started looking differently at what I was saying. I said, you know, is that true? You know, that is true. You know, hold for me, Dr. Ev. I see my board lit up, and if you want to share in this conversation, you could dial 1 on your keyboard, or as I say all the time, you could put your hand up, and when I see you put your hand up, I'll call on you as a good teacher that I am. So
So when you press one, the hand go up, right?
Yeah, the hand. Okay. There's a brilliant student in the back. Let's hear what the student has to say. But we've been talking about Christmas in Jamaica and yesteryear. And earlier up in our show, we had our guest person, Dr. J. And you could go back and listen to our show in the archive. Or, as I say again, if you want to join the conversation, just press 1 on your keypad and put your hand up, and we're good. Now, Dr. M, we've been talking about you know, it is a whole lot of things we're talking about, well mixed up. So, you know, when I look at people who I call them strong women. I call them nothing but strong women. Because I am not going to tolerate any foolishness from any man, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've been married more than once, and it's for the same reason.
I think what it does help women to do, and some men feel, as what I say in Jamaica, I think aware when the woman is able to manipulate herself, manipulate her existence, have a voice. And have the means to support herself. A lot of men have problems with that. So you have to be in a thinking. Your thinking would have to be different and not to be intimidated. Because the woman, though she's independent, she still needs the same warmth and love and affection too. But
of course,
that situation is a thing that, hey, you know what? She has a plan. She always has a plan. And she's going to execute that plan with or without a partner. And some men find that very difficult to deal with. And for that reason, a lot of times you would say, hey, boy, she is an unloving person, and she rough, and she all of that. But it's a matter of you have to, what would I say, put on the foot, and you have to be demanding, and you can't settle, and because of those things, it is not the most easiest thing when you're coming out to getting a partner, and who you're choosing. You know, depends on the man himself. They will not tolerate, they cannot deal with a woman, say, making a little more than they do, or more than they do, or having the power, the financial power. Some of them feel demasculated by that. Mm-hmm. And the woman, you then look at the woman, there's a problem that comes with that. Oh, because you work this way, you believe, say, you are the policy of this house.
You are a ruler. Yes, but a lot of men are intimidated by a woman, a strong woman, and sometimes they will not even approach you, you know, to even date you, because they are vying for a weaker woman, a woman who they can manipulate and she can cajole her into doing all kind of crap. But a strong woman will not approach her. He feels her. And that is why a lot of Jamaican women are put into that category of being rulers and manipulators, because we are so strong-willed, strong to the point where we're not going to tolerate anything. We are independent women. We know what we're about.
That's how when we talk about Jamaica, women in particular, I always say we are the backbone of that country. The women are always stepping up and delivering. When you think about your grandmother, everybody can say, I'm a granny, my girlhood. If I'm in my granny, I pick red cold coffee. My grandmother was like that, pick up red cold coffee. I thought, Christmas time, she
woman. She's the one who will bush the plant this and know that at Christmas time she can sell marijuana to something at one market. So our children, I send Wally for something to give my mom. I'm always seeing the women in my family playing that role. I don't see much of the men as strong as the women in the family. They are the matriarch personified. And the younger woman would definitely have no choice because it's already there blatant to say, hey, well, I'm to so-and-so and I'm to do this and I'm to do this. And the example is there for them to follow suit. And I just think it is a marvelous thing. And for those of you guys who are listening, hey, nobody know how we, nobody. We want to see a blog in a section and we do it on our term because we have a choice. We have a choice. We can spend for ourselves. And therefore, if we are wrong with the first, because we also have a skip test. Somebody's got a skip test.
This is it. This is so true. So you're listening to the Caribbean Radio Show, the CRS Radio, the Knowledge Station. And again, the number to dial in is 661-467-2407. And if you want to interact with us, if you want to talk with us, if you want to tell us what's going on, what went on in your life back in Jamaica or whatever culture you're from, just press 1 on your keypad, meaning that you put your hand up and I'll call on you. So, yes, Dr. Ev, as we've been talking about Christmas in Jamaica, you know, yeah, them times that is really, really nice. Really, really nice. Really, really nice. When you could walk and there would be no, you wouldn't be looking to say, okay, somebody's going to shoot me, gunman will come and shoot me, or, you don't have them things there. Those things were never around. The most things you looked out for were dogs. You know, dogs would be barking when you're caroling. Dogs barking. That's the only thing you'd be looking out for. And as I said, we would meet up on, at intervals, we would meet up on, other carolers. And we would stop and the whole group would sing the same song and then would move on again. And we'd stop at people's gate and we'd carol and, we stand there and we sing one or two carols and we move on, and it was a joy to behold. And them time there, in Christmas time, in Jamaica, it's kind of chilly.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it cool. We don't call it chilly. We cool,
mm-hmm.
So, you bundle up in your sweater and you walk and sing till 6 o'clock. You reach back home. You set yourself to reach back home at 6 o'clock to start the breakfast. And start the Christmas day happenings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the person's listening, if they have been privy to Christmas market or grand market or where they're from in Jamaica, what activities went on during Christmas time. So talk to me, man. Talk to me. Dr. Evan, I've been liming and chatting up a storm about our experiences using the rosemary bush. Rosemary is sweet. It smells so good.
So beautiful.
Rosemary.
Mm-hmm.
To sweep the mm-hmm. yard. And when you sweep that yard, especially if you have red dirt.
No.
And you sweep that yard. And when you look at it, especially early morning, when the dew fall on it and it damp already, and you sweep. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beginning of the morning. And as I said before, Dr. Ev, you smell the cardinal polish and the Rexo. Yes, you're clean from last night. You're clean. Everything clean up and ready to place. Here, new curtain down window. And you remember those sheets that your mother used to put on? Some of them have the Chinese-looking bird and the yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you remember, Dr. F, those tables that have the colorful tops and the shiny metal seats, and they have
yes, yes.
Everybody's house used to have one of those.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Court, yes. You know, court in November, court losing their head because everybody wants one new buffet.
Yes, I always ask myself, what was the purpose of getting new furniture in December? And many persons got furniture in December, and by January 1st, you see them. Yes, to take your stuff back because, yeah. What was the purpose of that?
I can't afford it.
Sometimes you get a little money on Christmas, you know, because remember
the bottle walk.
Yeah, you get a little bottle walk, but throughout the year, everything you have for Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
Remember, we just live for Christmas. And a lot of us, when you get a new shoes, when you get a new anything, is always around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only time you would have to remember. The big thing is that you have your partner, your shishu, come due like in a Christmas time. So you have a little extra money that you would use. Because if you have two partner, you are choice for something in particular.
Yeah.
You know, since I want to something at Christmas time, to go in a little business, you know, stuff like that. So all of the buying is at mostly certain time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And your big heavy purchase, you buy one fridge. You want to see if I buy one fridge, I want two of our own Christmas time.
But Dr. Ev, you know, it's all food time, Christmas time. We never have no refrigerator. We never have no fridge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we may do with the ice, when the ice truck are passed and you go out and you get your 50 ice, your black ice, or your 25 ice, you know, and you're nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're nice.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get your ice and you cover it with a sawdust, and even after the ice melt, the day of Christmas day pass, you still
mm-hmm.
have ice.
Yeah, one little bump. We say yeah, one little bump for ice.
And all through the all through the year, you're not getting ice, you know. Only when you got cool and you get one sock.
Yeah.
You get one sock, right?
Yeah.
That is only when you have ice. And your sock is until it soak out the syrup until it turns white.
The juice.
That's the only time you get ice. But you don't get ice for your yard. On Sunday be a time you get ice, not like a drink.
Sunday
be a time.
When you get
beetroot.
Your carrot juice, and you get juice and ice tonight.
Yes.
Well, you know, get the ice in your cup. Then put the ice in the goblet for making
yes.
cool.
In the goblet. A chill girl.
In a goblet. I make it cool. And you drink like a ice something. But funny enough, you know, it's a strange thing, you know. Poverty has its good deed because, really, people who are rich and are health conscious now are moving away from heist anything. Them talking about room temperature, which that's what we survived from, room temperature, everything at them time. So we were very health conscious and we didn't know it. You know, it's strange. I am looking at some of the things that we were conscious about growing up to. We look at our utensils. We look at, you know, most like said a Rasta man, if you have a Rasta living. They will tell you, no eat out a tin, no
board.
Eat out a certain pot, a high-end pot. And, you know, if you now eat out a high-end pot and the utensils, them. And now it comes to the truth. These things have caused synergenic effects and all of that kind of a stuff in. Plastic, them never fool around plastic either. Look at what the health problem plastics are contributing to now. So although we were poor, look at, say, when we grew up, we walked barefoot. Look at the power of walking barefoot. And the kind of problems when you walk barefoot is you hardly have no problem in walking when you, with foot problem when you walk barefoot. But no, when you have your walk and you live in a shoe, the kind of problem when you have foot problem is thousands and thousands of dollars plus uncomfortable sick, you know. Even our clothes, we grew up, we had, we never stay in a house where we have air conditioning running. Oh, certainly that wasn't ever, nobody would think you have, probably have one fan maybe, that you have to be very almost rich. But we were never inside a house. You went inside a house when night come for sleep. Your own existence is living outside where you have early morning and your people always tell you early to bed, early to rise.
Right.
But they were looking at more than that.
Right.
Yeah, the early sun for your vitamin D. Now, we know all of that. Of course, my opinion, we don't know that. No, we're not even, especially if we melanated skin people, we're not going to do and go get sun nowadays. Half, if you're in a cool climate, half of the time up here in the house, you're in a air condition. In the winter time, you're not at home. And in the summertime, you're running out of the house for air condition. And we are deficient in vitamin D to the because
so
we have the melanated skin.
So you see, Dr. M, the Rasta men were always right. And, you know, we run them away and said, not yet, Rasta. But they were always right.
Always.
You know, the kind of toothpaste that you use now, if you notice there is, a lot of people don't know this, there are codes on these tubes that tell you whether this is filled with chemicals or it is chemically mixed with something else, or it is just natural or whatever. The codes there, the blue, the green, they mean something. The Rasta men used, we're calling it now, chew stick. Yeah.
Come on.
It was healthy, and then we used to them and chew them chew stick, and you're like, wow. Right? They eat
and
from gourd.
White and pretty.
They ate from gourd. And you just mentioned, that you get from using plastic, eating from plastic, and these pots with lined with whatever, you know, I mean, the sophisticated pots and, you know. So the Rasta men had it, they had it all good. Some man cook over no fire, like, you know, gas and something. They cook over natural wood-burning stuff. So they had it right. They had it right.
And although we want advancement, you look at people who are conscious of health now. They're doing the Rasta and the normal, natural things.
Stick a pin. You notice that everybody, I mean, every woman, no, and most of them, because the sale on chemicals like the perm for hair, it has gone down drastically. Ain't nobody really going into perm in hair anymore. Everybody wants to wear their hair natural stuff, because they have realized now that the chemical stuff is causing you too many ill will, too many harm. I mean, the Rasta man, again, I said, them have it right. Them not comb them ear. It's not meant to be combed every day. Every day you're not meant to be combed. So they indeed have it right. We're coming up on the 5 minutes to the close of the show. And we've been talking about Christmas of yesteryear, and we mixed it up with a lot of things. And I, you know, recommend that persons who are here listening, you know, if you're just coming on, go back into our archive and listen to this this show, because it was we talked about so many things. I mean, I don't know where in Jamaica you're from or what kind of Christmas you experienced, but the Christmas that we experience is far different from the Christmases that we're seeing now. Where Christmas Eve is like a dance them have. It's no like, you know, it's different from the festivities that we had back then. You know, people go there to sell. People just go there to go dance and to go show off them clothes and all of that, because Christmas Eve don't mean so much to speak. It's the live for, when it was like before Christmas, we're calling out,
Grand Market.
Grand Market. So, I mean, Linstead in St. Catherine, Linstead is the place to be on Grand Market.
Mm-hmm.
Because every corner you go is a stone box perch up there, sir. And
Lord,
people are just, all night. Yes. So, it's a far different thing from when we went to Grand Market and what we went to Grand Market to look for and to do.
Wow.
Yes, so you know, it's a very exciting, interesting conversation we led tonight. Very, very, very exciting. And Dr. Ev, I thank you so much. I mean, you have so much to share. I can call on you for anything, any conversation. You are there. You just come in and
thing,
and I tell you all the time to stop talking my story, because everything you say is the kind of life I lived back in Jamaica.
Oh, God.
You know, we were all poor.
God.
Yeah, we all poor. You know, you know back then, and just to close out the show, let's look at that we sponsored in Jamaica. You mentioned something about them buying pajamas for them. And I can say, oh, my goodness, we never know nothing about pajamas, you know? We sleep in a
clothes.
You don't know how, you know, hang when you wake up a morning time, because a tear of clothes you're going to sleep in.
True.
Right?
True.
So giving these kids pajamas, it's like, oh, goodness. It's like giving them $1 million. They can be
yeah.
and go put on pajamas.
And this is what Give Back Jamaica want.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying our best. And unfortunately, we don't. Everything is finance, and we are individual people. We don't have a lot of finance, and our organization don't have a lot of finance. So if you really want to make a child feel sweet and happy, just like how you helped us to get 250 pairs of shoes and some small feet and make them beautiful and happy, we're doing our little Christmas treat. So those of you who would love to help us, give us a call. We have our page on Facebook, Give Back Jamaica Inc. right there. You can find us there. You can send us an email at CaribbeanRadioShow@gmail.com, CaribbeanRadioShow@gmail.com. And we are here every Sunday night. Well, Top Shelf, the Top Shelf Stevens is here every Sunday night. I just kind of tag along when she obliged me to be on. So you can always call into the show and just help us to help them. Because believe you me, if you understand the joy that a little pair of shoes or a little toy can bring to a child. Right now we're going down on the 26th of November. We're going to have Christmas in November. And give these children, one of the things that our organization want to do is to give these children an experience. We want to give them something and continue to give them the best that we can give them. So our little dinner party for them, they're going to get the best of chinaware. They're going to get proper nice glasses. They're going to get proper decor. Because we want to give them that experience. You know, sometimes when you give kids stuff because they're poor, you give them things that mediocrity, and we're not into that.
Thank you so much, Dr. Aaron. Thank you so much. And this is where we have to cut off tonight. So I thank you all for listening to the Caribbean Radio Show. And this is where we say good night.